welcome to episode 45 of Bike Club Wine, Women, and Fangs. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Josh.
We have Lynn back.
Yay! Yay! Yes! Coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong.
Hi. So how's your vacation? You walked the Great Wall, right?
Yes, I did. That was very exciting, very amazing, it was just amazing to be on the original part. Apparently, there's certain areas that are really touristy, but we actually drove 3 hours to 3.5 hours outside of Beijing, northeast to the Jing Shanling Tower area, entrance area. And then we hiked about 4 hours to the Sima Tai Tower. So part of the wall was restored, but then there's also a part that was from the original Ming Dynasty. So there was a lot of history, and it was just amazing. I mean, it was very physical because the inclines up and down were quite steep. But thankfully, the weather was great for us to hike. There was beautiful scenery. Yeah, it was amazing. I think if anyone ever plans a trip to China, they definitely have to go see the wall. I don't know if it's true that they can see it from the moon. I can't remember, but
I think it
apparently
is.
Yeah, apparently there was no smog. The air was actually not too bad from pollution. They have this thing in Beijing where the license plate that ends with like 1, 2, 3, they have designated a day that they cannot drive to control the pollution, which is quite good. But for some rich people, apparently the local tour guy was saying how for rich people, they may have 5 cars, one for each day.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, and now you have internet because you're in Hong Kong. So
yes, yeah. Well, I mean, I had internet before. I just was restricted.
A very censored internet.
Yes, very censored internet. And now I'm in Hong Kong. It's quite nice. I can access Facebook, Twitter. Like I can't watch videos from HBO or the American video sites. YouTube I can access, but like the abc.com, if I want to watch Lost, I can't. The things based for domestic viewers. But hey, this is plenty for me. It's being on Facebook, some of the I can watch.
So yeah, you got to get caught up now. So
no,
there's
I
like
am.
Stuff, you know, happening.
Yeah, totally. Like some of the news in our rundown, I'm just like, oh my God, no way. Wow. Oh, yay. So, no, thank you so much for putting everything together. And thanks to Stephanie for subbing in the other episode. So
yeah.
So thanks to Stephanie.
I think she'll be back soon. So we'll see her and probably maybe even next week. So,
yay. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get started? We got some news, and we want to get Lynn's take on the finale of The Vampire Diaries. We did our whole recap last week, but I'm sure you guys out there want to know what Lynn thought of the episode. And maybe you just can't get enough because you loved the finale so much you just want us to talk some more. So we will. This is Bike Club Show. BikeClubShow.com is our website. You can email us at BikeClubShow@gmail.com. You can also Twitter at Bike Club Show. If you also want to, go ahead and give us a review or some rating on iTunes. We're up there as well. All right. Wine selection of the week. I went ahead and broke out a bottle of Kenwood. 2006 Cabernet Sauvignon from Sonoma County. And I will read the description. Let's see. I don't even know if there's much description here. this is just description of Kenwood. This is just description of the winery, I think. Our Sonoma County Cabernet Sauvignon is sourced from vineyards located throughout Sonoma County's best viticultural appellations. After aging in small oak barrels, the individual vineyard lots blend together to form a rich and complex wine that showcases the best the region has to offer. I have to admit, this is very rich and complex. I don't even know how to really describe it. It has kind of a bite at the end. It's not fruity. It's just dark. You know, it's kind of... almost tastes like a blend. It doesn't necessarily taste like a Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know. It's kind of kind of interesting. On my first drink, I didn't really love it, honestly. I've only had about 3 or 4 sips. I can see how this is going to go really well with like a good steak.
Oh, you know? Yes.
Like a steak, prime rib or something like that, because it's really dark.
Oh, great.
I think there's a little bit of like a chocolatey bite to it, but there's no fruity. So this is kind of an intense Cabernet Sauvignon for those of you out there, if you're connoisseurs. So I would give it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
It's good. It's not my favorite, though. This is just me. I wonder what, you know, if you guys had some, I wonder what you guys would think, if you really like it or not. So,
I'm going to try it because I've been, you know, I've been in China for so many weeks that I've been having Chinese food every day. Ooh. I'm looking forward to having a nice, juicy, medium rare steak.
Nice.
I will get that bottle and have it with the steak.
That could be your welcome back to the States meal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. Along with sushi, hamburgers, spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh my God, you're making me hungry now. I haven't had dinner yet.
I know. So thank you for the recommendation. I will definitely get that bottle when I return.
Cool. It is a dry wine. I can say that. It's pretty dry. So,
it compliment the juicy steak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Yum. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the news. Okay, the first piece of news, I found a video, a behind-the-scenes video for the upcoming movie Priest, which I believe they're working on. They pushed the date till January of next year because they want to make it 3D. And I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't about vampires. So Paul Bettany is in it. Cam... Gigante, thank you,
Gigante.
God, from Twilight is in it,
yes.
And one of your favorite True Blood vampires, Stephen Moyer, doesn't play a vampire in this, and admittedly, when you watch the video, he says that these vampires might be able to kick True Blood's vampire's ass pretty well.
Wow, okay.
So it's a little more intense. It seems a little Western-y. I don't really know the... We've talked about this movie before in passing, but I still don't really know the complete synopsis, but I don't know.
Is it based on a graphic novel, or am I thinking
I think it
else?
Is. Okay. I think it is. It might be.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm looking it up on IMDb. A priest disobeys church law to track down the vampires who kidnapped his niece. That's the one-line synopsis. And let's see here. Paul Bettany, Cam
Gigante.
Is that... something like that. Yes, thank you.
We'll quiz you at the end of the show to see if you've got it by
then.
I know.
Gosh. Maggie Q, Carl Urban, who was in Lord of the Rings and he played the Doctor in Star Trek. Madden Amcheck. She was on Twin Peaks. That's what I remember her in. So there's some names in this movie, and it'll be interesting. I hope the 3D thing works out for them, because it seems to me like ever since Avatar, nothing has really lived up to 3D expectations unless you're talking about animation, you know? So this is live action. Like the How to Train Your Dragon, which I haven't seen, is supposedly brilliant in 3D, but that's animation,
true.
You know?
Yeah.
So live action is really hard, and Clash of the Titans was really terrible, apparently.
Yes.
Especially in 3D, it was kind of useless. And some people didn't like Alice in Wonderland in 3D as well. So we'll see if this movie passes the test. I mean, they delayed it just so they can make it 3D. So hopefully it's not one of those situations that they just kind of layer in the 3D just to make it 3D.
Right.
And not really, like, have thought about 3D while shooting.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I hope it improves, because remember how previously they talked about Breaking Dawn possibly in 3D, you know?
No.
So, yeah.
I'm afraid of that still. I don't know. I'm with Kristen on that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. And who knows? The new director, I mean, I don't think he's done anything in 3D, so I don't know. But maybe it'll be like studio pressure or something like that. So we'll see.
Yes. Moving on to the next news, apparently, I guess this is a new book, Blood Oath promises to bring guys back to vampire movies. So as we know, with Twilight, there's been an increase of female fandom, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and we don't know too many male fans. I know Josh is one, but it's only because he made him to be one.
Hey, I liked Buffy the Vampire Slayer
okay.
5 million years before Twilight.
And you know what? We made him like the Vampire Diaries.
That's
you
true. You did like make me like that. That's true. I'm yes. a fan of that now.
So it looks like this is Blood Oath by Christopher Farnsworth. It's a story that follows vampire Nathaniel Cade, who is captured by the U.S. Army after the Civil War and forced to swear an oath to President Andrew Johnson. Ooh, does this sound similar to that?
That other book
Lincoln,
that we talked about.
Lincoln, yeah.
Abraham Lincoln,
Lincoln
one,
book?
Right?
Yeah.
Huh. So... Well, this came from realchannels.com, so we'll provide the link and you can read more about this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to read the book now that it's going to be made into a movie, and it does seem pretty meaty. It does seem pretty meaty. So, you know, a vampire who is what? He's Secret Service, you know? That's kind of cool. And like how many, you know, years, how many presidents is he going to you know, protect and how that works. That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
I like that. Yeah. It's kind of the opposite when, you know, in Abe Lincoln, you know, he's
vampires
he's
are
the
just
slayer.
Evil in that, right?
So. Yeah, I think I'm going to try to read this. It doesn't say like a time frame, like when they're going to be in production or when it's going to be released or anything like that. But so it gives us some time to read the book and then watch the movie and can then compare.
All right. Speaking of books, Lynn, just FYI, last week, the news, the new Sookie Stackhouse book came out. I just want to update everyone. I'm still only halfway through. I only have 200 pages left. I'm just, I've just been super busy. And I, right now, I don't know that I love it because I think I should have finished it by now. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like a long time for you
and
one of her
even
books.
Even though I'm distracted, usually I find time for this. So, I mean,
really?
I have been uber busy, but sometimes it doesn't matter. The other issue is that there's so many season finales happening right now. I'm just like Lost just happened on Sunday and I'm still in mourning. So,
yes,
so
yes.
Like there's been constantly like things like that. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's fair to compare because I really have been distracted with a lot of stuff. So,
sure.
I wonder
if you give it a break kind of thing when things calm down a bit and then get back into and finish reading or even like reread it, maybe you'll be in a different mindset, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I know where I left off. And I do remember everything that happened so far.
Uh-huh.
It's just, you know, I think part of me is like, I usually read before I go to bed, but lately I've just been going to bed kind of late. And by the time I get there, I pull it out and I literally read 5 pages and I'm like, I can't do this. I got to go to bed, you know? So that's kind of where my head's at, which is kind of crazy. So, I am going to try and finish. And we had a listener, Lakeisha, who emailed, and I still can't read her email because I don't want to be spoiled. Because she's like, hey, I'm going to talk about the book. And I'm like, oh, I can't read that because I don't want to read any more about the book. So anyways, I will get to your email, Lakeisha, eventually. Maybe even this weekend. Maybe I'll have some time. It's Memorial Weekend in the United States, so we have an extra day off. So
oh,
maybe
right.
I can.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't take too long to read 200 pages of Sookie Stackhouse books, so maybe I can finally just get that done.
This is the one you downloaded on your Kindle, right?
On my iPad, actually, which I really like the iBook feature better than the Kindle. So,
Okay.
There's a lot more information, and I like you get to highlight stuff if you want to remember, and you highlight it, highlights in yellow and stuff like that. I don't know. I like that stuff.
Okay. I'll wait till the next version.
Cool. But speaking of books, the unofficial True Blood companion called Truly, Madly, Deeply is going to be released next week, and the author is Becca Wilcott, and bike club show is mentioned in the book. So I'm very excited. And so we are going to interview Miss Becca Wilcott next week. There's a picture of Lynn. And you guys have seen it probably on our Flickr page, but there's a picture of Lynn between Alexander Skarsgård Reverend Steve.
Yeah, Reverend Steve, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Michael McMillan.
McMillan, that's it. Yeah, I was like,
from Comic-Con last year. So there's that picture. And then I have like two or three other pictures that she included that were from Comic-Con when the cast was on stage during the panel that we attended. So I'm super excited that we were even mentioned at all. So thank you, Becca. And I can't wait to talk to her about the book is great. So
It looks like we can order the book from our website, bikeclubshow.com. Is that correct? Because yes. I'm going to go out and buy one.
Yes, you should be able to go into, go to our store and be able to do a search and find that. So if not, we'll add it very quickly. Right, Josh?
Great.
We'll add it.
Yes.
And on Amazon, it's only $12.21. So that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good deal. Not bad at all. All right. So next one. So MTV is going to pick up 12 episodes of Teen Wolf. This is reported by HollywoodNews.com. I know we talked about this a while back and we weren't very excited about this. And I'm still not very excited.
Will it be the show that kills off the werewolf trend even before it's begun?
Exactly.
I don't know what to think. I mean, this is just like when we were making fun of the Gates, which I saw the promo the entire time during Lost. And it starts on June 20th. And that one has like a crazy, like there's a vampire in that, whatever. I don't know. But now we're laughing at both shows right now. I don't know. Teen Wolf, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the original movie, like even when my standards for quality entertainment was much lower as a kid. Like even then, that was not a movie I was very excited by. So I'm like, who does anyone really feel nostalgic about Teen Wolf? Are they like, wow, it's coming back?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I guess werewolves usually take a second seat behind vampires. So
right.
Although with True Blood and Alcy and those werewolves, and of course Taylor Lautner and Twilight and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be a brilliant reimagining of the original movie. We don't know.
Well, we know we get 12 episodes, so we'll see. Hopefully, it's only a half-hour show.
Yeah. And
they're one-hour episodes, 12 one-hour episodes.
Well, 1 hour. It's a little bit, I guess, encouraging that the executive vice president of MGM, it's a co-production with MGM and MTV, and he says in this interview that, quote, we're excited to be in business with MTV on the Teen Wolf production, and MTV is the perfect network home for this show. The youth audience is really crazy about this genre, and we're pleased to bring this werewolf mythology series to television. We're taking the characters through traditional male-female relationship challenges, both the conflict and the romance. I mean, there's still more. So maybe it'll be similar. You know, I'm kind of thinking it may be similar to like Vampire Diaries, but with werewolves. Because they are kind of going for that younger audience.
That's true.
Teenagers.
That's true.
If he's behind it and it's MTV, MGM, co-production, I'll give it a chance. I'll watch a couple episodes.
I think we should.
Out. Yeah. But it's just initially I'm kind of like, I don't know.
I know.
I'm going to let you guys test taste this for me.
Okay. Do you think we need to watch the Teen Wolf movie from the 80s first?
I don't think so, actually. Okay. If this is going to be a reimagining, I kind of feel like maybe we don't have to because I don't know. I feel like it's not going to... Well, maybe it is going to be a comedy. I have no idea. I mean, you know, it was a kind of a comedy, right? The original
movie? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So
it was a teen comedy.
This is drama, romance, conflict, comedy. Okay. Mm. You know, I will give it three episodes, three or four, because I remember that's when Vampire Diaries turned. So.
Yep. And now we're hooked. So
now we're hooked. Love it. All right. Well, good luck to Teen Wolf. Let's move on to Twilight news. The big news. Well, there's kind of a lot of news going on.
Yes.
But the biggest is that Kristen, Rob, and Taylor will officially attend the very first TwiCon convention. And this is going to the one that they're going to attend is the one in Los Angeles. They will be there on Saturday the 12th. You can purchase single day tickets for Saturday, which is $49. That includes reserved seating in the main theater where all guests appear, to the rear and sides of our weekend package. Oh, you're in the back. All rear and sides of our weekend package holders. Also includes admission to the vendors display areas, which that's kind of cool. It's going to be loud. You know, I think we talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
About this with Stephanie last week. And I was kind of on the fence. I was like, well, that's kind of cool to go maybe to see Rob, Kristen, and Taylor. But you know it's going to be really, really loud. So there's also other tiered seating prices. There's the Wolfpack weekend seating for $119. The Volturi weekend seating for $189. You can see this all. We'll put a link on our website. But June 11th through the 13th is the big Twilight convention in Los Angeles. And if you want, you can see Rob, Kristen, and Taylor live. I really hope, honestly, if you go, I don't know if I'm going to go, but if anyone goes out there, that you could hear the Q&A.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling it might be way loud and that, you know, people might not be able to ask their questions, or if they do, it would be too hard to hear. I don't know. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I remember we saw the first one. It was on YouTube. Maybe they did a video on it, you know, and they posted it on YouTube. And you cannot hear anything that they say. I mean, granted, that's kind of when they've started to become really like household names.
Yeah.
They were kind of mumbling-ish. They weren't really projecting, too. And then the fans screaming and yelling. So I would not have, like, I wouldn't. Like at first I was like, oh, maybe I should go down to LA for a day trip. But then I don't know. Now, after you mentioned about the screaming and the, it reminded me of that video. And I was like, well, it's not going to be worth it to go and not hear anything. And if we're sitting in the back or on top somewhere, like far away, you're not going to see anything. So I'll just wait for the, maybe produced video that they're going to release at some point.
I kind of want to see the vendors in the display areas, honestly.
I didn't even think about that.
And then give out, you know, some of our, you know, stuff.
Our cards.
If I'm being honest. And meet some of the, I'm sure there's going to be some fan sites there or whatever. It'd be kind of cool to meet some of them. But I don't know. We could talk about this offline.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, exactly. Because I'll be back. And,
yeah. We could do a day drive just down to go see it and, you know.
Yeah. Or fly in early and then come back or something. So, okay, we'll chat more later.
Yeah.
But prior to that convention taking place in L.A., on Sunday, June 6th, the MTV Movie Awards, Kristen, Rob, and Taylor will present an exclusive clip from the Twilight Saga Eclipse. So I imagine that's a clip that we have not seen, and that's probably a clip that's coming out just before the movie's premiere on June 30th. So 2010 MTV Movie Awards is live on Sunday, June 6th on MTV.
Yeah,
9 p.m.
I'm gonna watch
Eastern.
It. You'll be back, Lynn. I'm going to watch that.
I for sure will be back, and I will be watching.
They did the presentation of a new clip last year, so I think so it'll be fun to see whatever clip this is. Hopefully it's kind of long.
This is a never before seen. Great. Okay. Because I really enjoyed the previous one that was released, and I kind of was like, oh, that definitely satisfied my Twilight Eclipse.
Yeah.
That excited me for that. And now, right before the movie is premiered, this will be a good addition. I don't want too much because I want to watch the whole movie. You know?
I know. I don't want too much either. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of Eclipse, AMC is announcing the Twilight Experience at theaters nationwide on June 29th. So, this is from TwilightSource.com. If you're looking to watch Twilight and New Moon again prior to seeing Eclipse at midnight, AMC has a great opportunity for you called the Twilight Experience. This might be kind of cool. Relive the, you know, basically you get to see Twilight, you get to see New Moon, and then right after at midnight you get to see Eclipse. So you're going to be sitting in the theater for a long time.
It's kind of similar to last year when, remember, wasn't that what you got, that when you waited in line at the Hot Topic, you got a lanyard?
To go see. Well, actually, you got to see it earlier than midnight. You got to see it at 9 p.m.
Oh,
but
I see.
Didn't get Eclipse. You didn't get the other two. You didn't get Twilight before that.
Okay, I see.
You also get for $30, you also, with all of those movies, you get a $10 AMC gift card. So... and then you do get a lanyard. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to sit through like the whole saga? That's kind of a lot.
That's a lot.
That's dedication.
Yeah, that is.
We love Twilight, but, that is a lot.
I can watch Twilight at home. And,
I know. I have it on my iPhone and my iPad. And,
yes.
You know.
Do you have New Moon yet? Did you buy New Moon yet?
I don't have New Moon. But.
Shameful. Your fan license is revoked.
I will make an announcement when we get to True Blood.
Okay. By the way, are we going to go to the midnight showing again, even though they let us in, watch it like an hour or 2 hours early?
I don't know.
Last
we could
time?
Go to the Twilight Experience and see all three of them in a row.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I don't know if my butt can take it.
That's what
and then potentially my bladder.
I know. That's what. Oh, it's at AMC Van Ness, too. It starts at 6:30 and then it goes on.
Okay,
it says here rated PG-13, 7 hours and 50 minutes. That's like a full workday.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm not going to go because, one, I don't really like AMC Van Ness. It's not a it's not that nice. It was nice in the days, you know, in like 10 years ago. But no, sorry. I'll just see you guys at midnight.
Yeah. I know. I have to say, I might just go to the midnight show. So,
essentially the one that we went to for New Moon release, then I would be like, I would consider it and go, because actually that's a nice facility, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Right. Maybe we'll change our mind later.
Maybe.
Since we're dedicated to our vampires.
Exactly. Well, just an update to a story that we talked about last week. We had mentioned that there was some contract disputes with Ashley Greene and Kellan Lutz about Breaking Dawn and signing on for the last movie, maybe two movies. And, you know, basically they were asking for a pay raise. And we don't really know all the details of what they really wanted and this and that. But as an update, they have finally signed on. They are going to be on Breaking Dawn. In fact, all of the cast, all the Cullens, and pretty much obviously Rob, Kristen, and Taylor, they're all going to be back. All of that, just, you know, contract negotiations is done. You get your favorite actors playing your favorite Cullens, and we can move on. So, yay.
Great.
I'm glad they worked out.
I'm so glad. Because I think with the whole Victoria during that cast change, it's kind of like we don't need that controversy again, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's like what I was afraid of, too, was that, they totally cut, you know, Rachelle Lefebvre. So who's to say that they won't just go ahead and change, you know, the supporting cast, you know?
Yes.
But
so
not anymore. Yay.
Nope. Hey, so it looks like we're going to move on to True Blood. So do you want to share what you mentioned just moments ago?
Well, you can do the big announcement of, I don't know.
Oh,
I guess the DVDs and the soundtrack is out, but I was just going to say, I'm going to buy them all at once. I'm going to buy the True Blood season 2 DVD Blu-ray. I'm going to buy the soundtrack for True Blood. And I'm going to I should buy both Eclipse soundtrack and the New Moon Blu-ray DVD. I'm going to buy them all via our store.
Be our best customer ever.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. And I will do the same, and I buy that book as well from Becca. So, yeah. Great. You'll see a big purchase.
Yeah, we'll see a little bit of a rebate. But if you guys want to buy, if you haven't bought it already, if you buy through our store, it helps us out. So,
It says it's coming out. You mean Tuesday, May 24th, right?
The
True Blood season 2 DVD and soundtrack.
It's out today. Yeah, it's out now.
Because I'm in Hong Kong and it's Wednesday, May 25th right now. So that's why I wanted to see. Okay, so it's available now, basically.
Yeah. Well, we'll provide a link to, you could preview the soundtrack for True Blood season 2. I don't love it as much as I loved the first soundtrack, I have to say. But I only listened to the whole stream. It's streaming on this website, on EW's website. And I listened to it, and it was good. You know what they don't have? They didn't have Beck's Time Bomb.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That was the one thing. I was like, that's the most memorable Time Bomb.
Yeah, must have been a licensing thing.
Must have been. Well, Beck is on it, but a different song,
what?
Bad Blood.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't even remember when they would have played that. But I'm really, really kind of sad that they didn't have Time Bomb on there. So, I like the Bob Dylan song that's on there. But I don't love, and there's that song. Do you remember when Bill walked in to see the Queen for the first time and there was that sort of like.
Oh, yeah. That song was great. Yeah.
That song is on the soundtrack. So that's good. But yeah, I'm disappointed about Beck and I don't love it as much. But maybe I have to listen to it. I don't know.
Like the whole thing?
Maybe I have to listen to the whole thing again. I listened to it the first time and I was like, okay. But every once in a while, the original soundtrack pops up on my iPhone and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I love that song. And then I look, I'm like, oh, it was on True Blood, you know? So, I don't know. I'm just not that, I don't have any, you know, it was only my first listen. So maybe I'll like it.
You probably have to be in the mood, maybe have a glass of wine, you know, darken the room a bit, you know,
maybe that's
and,
it.
Stare at your photo collection of Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Wear the Fang Fanger tank top that we got.
Okay. I'll do all of that. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
I was at work when I listened to it, so, you know.
That's different. You've been busy, remember?
Yeah.
And your attention span was split, half listening and then maybe half on work. So, no, you need to be in full True Blood mode.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Don't be obsessive, though.
All right, I won't. Well, speaking of True Blood, we have a few more pieces of news. And hopefully those of you, our listeners, have seen the two new mini episodes. Last week was Sam. And this week, just released today, was Bill. And Sam's video is pretty funny. There's no dialogue. And he just takes that helmet of Marianne's and, you know, just pounds on it.
Yeah.
Then turns into a dog and pees on it.
Yeah, I love it. I loved his aggression, his anger, I don't know. He just was giving it all, using all kinds of tools to bang on that. And no dialogue necessary. You knew how he felt.
Totally. I mean, he was just getting his anger out and I loved it. I love that.
There was a little bit, I don't know why I thought of this, but I was kind of like, I thought as he's banging it or it's not like budging or whatever, just this at first when I was starting to watch, I thought, ooh, I wonder if Marianne's going to kind of appear in the bag as he's kind of banging this. And it's like, oh, I'm not really getting rid of her. She still reemerges from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But no, she didn't appear. So she definitely is not coming back.
Yay. Don't come back.
Yes. But I like the actor, Michelle Forbes, though. So yeah. Partly why I was a little bit kind of like, maybe.
You kind of wanted her to appear.
I know.
Yes, kind of, yeah. But not as Marianne, I guess.
I know. Too much evil.
But I like the one with Bill. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I like the one with me. I like the one with Bill too. I mean, that that girl coming, that woman
bringing
in the jewelry and just kind of like, I don't know what it was. It was like she was scared because the first time she ever met a vampire, and then she's just kind of, I don't know, just blabbering and just getting enamored by looking at his eyes and all that stuff.
And then trying to offer herself. And I was wondering, I was like, okay, what is she doing? And then I realized she's selling something.
Yeah.
So, by the way, has she appeared in the show previously, like in previous episodes?
You know, now that you say that, she totally looks familiar.
Yeah,
maybe doesn't she look familiar?
She looked familiar to me too, and I don't know if I didn't get to watch the whole clip, but just the first beginning of it. But I didn't know if she's been on True Blood or if there's something else I've seen her on. But she definitely,
definitely rang a bell. Oh gosh, I know for sure. Did you watch Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock?
No.
Well, yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah, I've seen it.
So I think she's one of the bus attendants or bus passengers. If those people who remember, she reminded me of someone on that, the bus. Then thinking more about it, like, because she looked so familiar. Do you remember there was, I can't remember if it's True Blood or some episode. Oh, sorry, I'm confusing it. I think she was in Crazy Heart. Oh gosh.
Oh
duh.
God, why am I mixing?
I'm mixing Crazy Heart with vampires. So if you watch Crazy Heart, I think she's in there. She plays someone's wife as the character. I can't remember his name. He won the best actor.
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. When he's on stage performing, she was one of the audience members. So I think that was her. But anyway, never mind. I was like, oh, episode, but no, it was from Crazy Heart. But I think she was I'm pretty certain she was on the bus for the Speed episode. But I could be wrong too. So
maybe. She's probably one of those actors that, you know, plays bit parts, but then they're memorable parts. So you can't forget who she is, you know?
Right.
All right. Well, there's also a new True Blood promo that was released this week and just more images from the upcoming season that's going to start really freaking soon. I'm so excited. Looks like possibly Sookie and Eric get a little hot and heavy possibly in some of this. And get to see the wolves, you know, coming out.
I think there were there some wolves in one of the mini-sodes?
I didn't see in the mini-sode, but in the promo, you could see.
Oh, it was in the promo. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you could see Bill is surrounded by a bunch of wolves, and then you just see fangs, and then you see Alcee. Looks great.
Did you go to, in the thing, it says, can you decode the message that flashes across the screen at the end of the hot new season 3 trailer?
Okay.
Did you pause on that?
I paused and I tried to scan it and I couldn't scan it. So I don't know what I need to get a different, reader or a different, QR code reader. So basically we'll link to this, website or to the Facebook page for this video, and there's a QR code. QR code is like a square, and it's got a little pattern, and you take your smartphone and you scan it with an appropriate app that works, and you're supposed to get a message. And I sat there and tried to scan forever. I was like, why? And it wouldn't take. So I don't know if it was just the app that I was using and I need to download a different app or what. So.
But is it for sure a code? It's not like a graphic of any sort. It's definitely that the QR code you mentioned.
Yeah, that's the that square is the code that you're supposed to decode. So you scan that and then something's supposed to pop up on your phone. But I don't know what it is. Oh, I haven't seen it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've seen that. So I'm curious now. Huh? Well, yeah, let me know or let us know if you,
if I ever decode it.
And post,
I will
post it on our website.
I know. So. I will.
Oh, So it looks like you found this True Blood Theater screening and secret clip. I'm not really understand. So I guess there's a, it says here before True Blood kicks off its third season on June 13, HBO will treat the show's fans with a wider screen. There will be special midnight events at 50 movie theaters across the country on June 1st. That includes the screening of season 2 finale and an extended preview of season 3. Oh my God, that would be awesome.
I know, right?
So this is the, it's almost like the Twilight thing where they do a screening of the movie, but this is the TV show that they're doing a screening at the theater. Okay.
But it's the season 2 finale, and then you get the preview for season 3, but you get the Q&A. I guess the Q&A with Alan Ball and some of the cast members, HBO is going to put it on their site live. So we can, if we don't go to, because you have to have a pass. You have to have a VIP pass or a general admission pass. And I guess True Blood on Facebook has been giving them out. I entered. I haven't won yet. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. I know. So, I mean, it's a midnight showing of the season 2. I mean, I'm not going to be too hurt that I don't see the season 2 finale again on a big screen. You can. I don't know about the preview for season 3, but apparently that Q&A is going to be available online. And I think we're going to be able to watch it live online.
Okay.
So, yeah, because at the very least, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And then I still haven't watched Lost. So when you watched Lost on Sunday, did you see the exclusive clip of season 3
I didn't see it. And I was watching Lost live, and I had to sit through all of the commercials. There was a lot of commercials, especially that last hour. I was like, what is going on? And I didn't see it. Josh, did you see it?
No, I had to wait for the iTunes download. So no, I didn't see any of the commercials.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
I don't remember the True Blood. I thought that True Blood was going to be a promo during Lost, but I didn't see it.
You know, I'm reading this article on aceshowbiz.com. It says here on another interactive news, HBO would include an exclusive clip. Yep. On Sunday, fans located in New York, LA, and Philadelphia should crack a QR code embedded in a True Blood commercial during the broadcast. So maybe it was only
those locations.
Maybe.
Oh, that sucks.
I know that sucks. Oh, darn. Okay.
We can't see it.
Well, so those people, those fans in New York, Philadelphia, and LA, let us know if you saw it and your reactions. I would love to kind of hear about that. And it did say viewers should DVR the Lost series finale and take a picture of the QR code with a smartphone as it appears on the screen during the ad. And
That's what it was.
Okay. So it's supposed. Your phone should be able to decode that.
Yeah.
Should or to read the code if this is what they're saying. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let us know if anybody saw it. That'd be awesome.
I know.
And other big news. I don't know if you know, but Sam Trammell is on Twitter.
For sure.
It's for sure. He's verified. And he's been tweeting. He said his last tweet was 8 hours ago as of this recording. And he said, by the way, Merlot's now serves Mentos, mint and fruit flavored.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this.
He is at Sam Trammell, the way you would spell his name. And it's verified. Ooh. So it's funny because we follow on Bike Club Show Merlot's Bar, a Twitter that is basically a fan who is twittering as if that person was Sam and stuff like that. And so that person tweeted out, oh, looks like the guy that kind of looks like me is on Twitter. And I was like, what? Funny. And I saw it and I replied. I'm like, what? Is this really him? And he says, and then that person replied back and said, well, he's verified. I'm like, oh my God, he's totally verified. Okay. So
I just followed him and he's great.
Not,
yeah.
He's not following anyone. He's not following anyone from his cast. I think he's still learning Twitter.
He might be learning Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he gets it. So he needs to talk to the woman that plays Pam, Mrs. Van Strat, on Twitter.
Yes.
She tweets all the time. She knows. He needs to follow Joe Mangiello, who plays Alcee.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Follow True Blood HBO. He needs to follow all these main sites. And I think he just needs to get it, but at least he's tweeting. So I'm very excited.
Oh, that is awesome. Welcome to Twitter, Sam. Yay.
So exciting. Okay, and one other article I wanted to share was an interview with Alan Ball, and he talks about season 3 and Alcee. The big thing that I wanted to share from this article that we will, of course, link to our show notes is that Alan Ball says, for people who read the book, they'll be surprised who kidnapped Bill.
Oh. Yes, I love that. I love that.
We are getting a little deviation from the book, it seems, because I kind of feel like, oh, I read the book. I know who takes Bill. And I mean, like some of those like major storylines for the first two seasons have not really changed, you know, but I guess he's going to deviate from it.
I think it's great. I think in this article, he does provide a lot of information like about new stuff happening, vampire politics, like just a lot of stuff that doesn't follow the book. And I like that because I feel like the story, there's more to the story. And because you know how I feel like with the book, there's going to be some kind of conclusion at some point,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. This one, they can kind of keep going if the success continues, you know, the way it is right now.
That's true. That's true.
So, I don't know. And I feel like there is a divide between the book fans and the TV show fans.
Yeah, so I do too. I do too.
You can like both, or you can just watch the TV show and not have to read the book, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because I know some people who don't want to read the books because they feel like they're going to get spoiled too much.
Right, yes.
But I mean, apart from season one, which I think was pretty close to the book, season mm-hmm. two already started to deviate. And if he's yes. going to go a little bit, if he's not even going to have the same person kidnap Bill, then we're really, you know, going different into season three, you know? So, I agree with you, Lynn. I'm glad because it's nice to have an addendum. And then there's going to be the comic books, which are going to yes. be another addendum, which is really good. And Alan Ball has a hand in that. So you yes. know that's going to be good. It's not like just some third party who's coming in. He's really involved. So
yes,
it's just nice because it expands the universe of True Blood and gives us more, not just the show. So, and I love that he's doing these mini webisodes.
Yeah.
You know, all I don't know. I like that he's expanding and going out and it's not just about the show. It's everything else around the show involving all your favorite characters. So I think that's a smart thing to do. He also talks about Alcee and he says that Alcee was hard to cast. And interestingly enough, there was a lot of fan interest in Joe Mangiello. There were a lot of people on the message boards on IMDb saying this guy should play Alcee. There's more he talks about, but then in the end he says, we lucked out with Joe because he's trained and also physically appropriate for the role. Joe just brought the whole package. I cannot wait to see him. I'm so excited.
Yay.
Lynn, there's a picture and I'll have to send it to you. Last week we talked about, there's this picture that I showed to our listeners of Joe walking the actual wolf that is going to play him as the transformed Alcee. He's like,
oh,
what?
My
like,
gosh.
He's walking it like a dog. Like the wolf has this huge chain as the leash, you know, but he's just kind of walking it and kind of looking at it. And it's just, it has its head down. And it's walking with him. It is the cutest picture ever.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Did you? Oh, please send it to me. Yeah, I
will. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Okay, great.
But it's just, I'm like, oh my God, he's walking the wolf that's going to play him. That's so awesome. But anyways.
This article made me, I don't know. I like Joe Manganiello more and more. Initially, I was kind of like, well, I don't really, I can kind of see a little bit. But now, and there are some photos posted on the bottom of him. I was like, wow, I see great casting again. Like I see him fitting the role more and more. So,
I think he's going to be good. I think people are going to be excited.
Yes. Season 3. Oh, gosh. I can't wait.
And, you know, Alcy is in the book that I'm reading right now. So, you know, he'll be around for a while if it works out.
Yay. The latest book. Okay.
Yeah, he's in there. He's in there. So,
well, so I know that we all can't wait for True Blood to start. There's also going to be a red carpet premiere taking place in Los Angeles on Tuesday, June 8th. So it looks like the entire cast will be there at the official red carpet premiere, and it's at the ArcLight Cinerama Dome, 6360 Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, Tuesday, June 8th. So if you are in LA during that time and want to start lining up to potentially get a glimpse of the cast, they should be arriving between 5 and 6:30 p.m.
This is when I wish I lived in L.A. Because yes, I would really like to just go down there and take pictures and whatever.
Yes.
I mean, I really want to go see them. But
yeah, me too. So this is exciting. True Blood Season 3 premiere official red carpet.
It is just around the corner. I cannot believe it. Cannot believe it.
So then that means they're in a theater, in that theater, watching the first episode, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I want to watch it with them early, yeah, like 5 days early.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, True Blood. I love this show.
Cannot wait. Okay, moving on to the Vampire Diaries. We're going to get Lynn's reaction to the finale because we didn't get to talk to her. And I really want to hear her reaction to the awesome finale that was last week. But before we do that, I wanted to just mention that I'm going to link to an interview, an exclusive interview from Fear.net with one of our favorite heroines, Nina Dobrev, who plays Elena on the Vampire Diaries. And I wanted to highlight a couple of things from this article. Which is all towards the end. She said, the question was, is there any particular direction you'd like to see Elena go in the second season? And she says, yeah, I definitely want to see how her relationship between the two boys progresses. And if at some point enough will be enough, and if she will decide that being around these two individuals is really worth all the pain and heartache and all the difficulties they really put on her life. She had problems before they showed up, but it's definitely complicated things a lot, their presence. So I'd like to see whether or not she will call it quits or keep going and fighting for what she loves. Because if you remember, her mother, Isabel, warned her about having the Salvatore brothers around her life.
Right.
And that it's not a good thing. And Catherine was smart enough to leave, you know, but she's not Catherine. Will she be smart enough to leave? So I like that.
I want to know what that is. You know,
I know. I like that. I don't know if it's just because it's just too intense, you know, like why be involved with vampires, or is it just the Salvatore brothers? What's so intense about them that makes them, you know, I don't know, bad luck, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Right. Well, and remember, the Salvatore, the father was part of the founding family, right? Mm-hmm. Or the group, and then having the sons who were turned to be vampires, it also almost contradicts the whole family lineage, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some, maybe it's a curse or something that being involved with the Salvatore brothers.
So, maybe.
I do like, so in the beginning of this article, she says that she used to be on another television series called Degrassi. We shot that in Canada. And I remember watching Degrassi Junior High when I was growing up. Do you remember that show, Degrassi
Junior High? I remember that show, but I don't, she's in the new generation.
Oh,
yeah.
No, right. No, I know. But I wonder if this show is kind of the spinoff or the later, the newer version of the Degrassi Junior High.
Oh,
kind of like
it is.
The 90210, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the, I definitely think it's the new version. So,
yeah. Because I really liked the Degrassi Junior High show when I was watching that. I don't know why. There was something about it. I like it.
I think there are some cast members from the old Degrassi Junior High from our generation. That is on the show that Nina Dobrev was on. Just like, you know, like we're the older, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Or whatever. So,
And it's funny, I really like Canada now. Well, it's partly, so, you know, I mean, I like all, pretty much all countries, but I really like Canada because there are two people from my tour, Intrepid Travel Group. They're from Canada. And it was so cool, kind of like learning more about Canada and Canadians. And,
cool.
Yeah, it was, so I kind of learned more about Canada and like the Toronto side, cause that's where they're from. And, I do, you know how they talk about the accent? Yeah. You know, like she does talk this way. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know,
no offensive. I love Canada too. I mean, if I could move to, I'd move to British Columbia, actually. I'd like to move to Vancouver if I could. Yeah. One more thing in this article is, here's the question. At PaleyFest, one young member of the audience said she liked Elena more than quote unquote other vampire girlfriends. You laughed at that remark, but what is the secret to playing a vampire's girlfriend? She laughs and here's her answer. I think what's important about Elena being in the position that she's in and my choice to play her the way I have, I think that I want to play her real and play her as I would react to any of these situations. And she has to have a really strong backbone and really high morals and not to be that kind of pushover girlfriend who takes the shit from an abusive boyfriend. She has to stand her ground. She has to be strong. I totally agree. And that's why I love Elena.
Yes.
I think
they didn't bleep out the bad word.
The bad word?
You know, the...
Oh, right.
I don't know if, I mean, is that appropriate journalistic?
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So anyways, there's that interview with Nina Dobrev and I really like her.
Like from this interview, I really like her. Like she really is into this role. And I think that's partly why the show is so popular because she does play a great character and it's not cheesy, you know, like teenage girl, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I definitely agree. She, you know, I think she's just, you know, understands the responsibility and is, being a good role model and all of that stuff. So I'm, you know, I'm glad she is the person who is playing this role.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then I don't remember if we talked about this. We may have in the past episodes, but Moonlight, an old vampire show, only lasted one season, is going to air on the CW alongside the Vampire Diaries when it does their repeats during the summer. So we have been getting a lot of, ever since we started the show, people have said, have you watched Moonlight? Have you watched Moonlight? You should watch Moonlight. So maybe this summer I will finally watch Moonlight now that it's going to be on the CW kind of, you know, back to back with the Vampire Diaries. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think I remember you mentioned this briefly because, Moonlight sounds familiar. All right. I will watch it too.
Okay. Yay. Okay. Well, Lynn, why don't you tell us, let's talk about the Vampire Diaries
and yes.
Season finale. We didn't get to talk to you. What did you think? Were you shocked? Surprised? What was most notable?
I loved it. I loved the show. I mean, initially when it first started, I thought, oh, another flashback. We're going back to, you know, Catherine and Stefan and with some event. But then you saw the aunt suck it up, Elena. And I was like, okay, we're in present day. Okay. So I liked everything about the show. I have to say, I definitely like Damon. I mean, I can say I love Damon right now because...
Team Damon.
Yes, I think I am. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure that I am. I love how in this episode, he was very human. He gave a lot of... Like, he apologized and he was thankful. And it was very genuine when he did that, when he talked to Bonnie. And Bonnie, you can sense a little bit of regret that she might have, like, not did the right thing when she pretended to cast the spell on that device, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think she kind of maybe regretted it. And then the rogue vampires, you know, the whole, like, trying to kind of come and from the tomb, trying to disrupt and kill off the founding family. I was like, that was a good kind of conflict and height of to bring for the finale. I like how Anna kind of played a role to inform, kind of played two roles. One yep. was training them, but then also it was an informant for, to tell Damon to warn everyone. I mean, jumping forward, I did get emotional when John, Uncle John, started to bring everyone into the basement and start pour gasoline in there, and then Anna grabbed Uncle John's foot, ankle, and then he stopped. It was like, okay, everyone, you guys go, and proceeded to like pick up a steak, and watching Damon witness Anna get staked, it really hit me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it hit me because of Anna dying and knowing that she was gonna die and leave the show, or seeing that Damon witnessing that and he couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Kind of the, you know, and then later on letting Jeremy know. I don't know. There were so many good things with Damon. I just, I was like, oh my gosh, I love you.
Okay. So here's my question to you.
Sure.
When you saw Damon kiss the person in front of the house, what was going through your mind?
Okay. Oh, sorry. Of course. That was a big one. Oh gosh. Yeah. When I first watched it, my initial reaction was, he's just kissing her on the cheek. And then it was like, oh, the lips. And that didn't really surprise me as much because I did notice kind of the eye, the meeting of their eyes, the gazes, you know, as the previous episode, Isabel said, oh, well, Damon's in love with you. Or, you know, like, so, you know, I kind of sense a little bit and I can feel a little bit of that attraction with Elena, you know, and then they set up the love triangle for so long in the show, you know, in the past. So it didn't really surprise me, but then at the end, when it turned out to be Catherine cutting the finger off and then, I don't know, attacking Uncle John, I went back and rewatched that scene again.
Yes.
I really was trying to, I don't know, I was trying to be nitpicky too, because I was like, okay, what was Elena wearing before this scene started?
Uh-huh.
Then I noticed the porch Catherine / Elena was not wearing the same thing. I also noticed they didn't wear the necklace, the vervain necklace. I didn't notice a chain, even though
the Catherine had a different necklace, which is probably the necklace that keeps her alive during the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I noticed that because, it wasn't the same chain. I noticed the chain was different the second time around that I watched it.
Yeah, I didn't really see the chain initially, but then as she walked into the kitchen, then I was like, okay, there was a chain. But then my question for this part is, she kind of walked towards the window and you see there was some reflection, but there was a little bit of a movement in the glass.
Oh, I didn't look at that.
Okay.
Oh,
so I only looked at that because, you know, vampires are not supposed to see a reflection. But then I don't know if it's only because of the mirror or because of the regardless, it's the same reflection, window or mirror. But then it brought me back to a previous episode of Damon, because remember, Elena saw him kind of change one time in the kitchen through the reflection from the glass. That was like also in the kitchen. It was a while back.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, well, are these vampires, are they okay with the glass reflection, but not the mirror reflection, you know?
Yeah. So
that puzzled me a little bit, but then I thought, okay, I'm being nitpicky. And then it brought me back to like, wow, maybe that kiss, there was a moment of like, whoa, wait a minute. Did Elena and I just share a kiss with, you know, from Damon's perspective?
Yeah.
Or this kiss seemed familiar.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing, but only afterwards. Like when when I saw it the first time, it was sort of like, ooh, you know, but then the second time I interpreted his touch of his lips as,
that familiarity from before.
Familiar. Yeah, exactly.
But then, I mean, I know the producers, they could probably spin it where, you know, creates more conflict and drama between the love triangle, you know, the whole jealousy thing, you know, but that's probably not going to be long lived because Elena can always say, no, that wasn't me. And they're like, oh, well, whoa, could it be Catherine? You know, like, so season two, oh my gosh, wow. And Jeremy, the whole drinking of the blood and then somewhat committing suicide, I guess. What does this mean? Is he going to be quote unquote rescued by maybe Elena? Cause Elena kind of came in. Is Uncle John going to survive? Is, or is Jeremy going to become a vampire and join team, the Salvatore brothers, you know?
I know.
I don't know. And then werewolf. I saw the eye.
I know the eye. That was awesome.
And the device affected not only the vampires, but also the werewolves. They heard the screaming. And so then did the mayor really die or will he relive because, you know, he's a vampire? I'm sorry, he's a werewolf.
I think he's dead.
I think he's a dead werewolf.
Yeah, because nobody else came out of that other than Damon. You know, Stefan went in and got Damon. So I don't think, I think the mayor's dead. And so now it's up to, you know, Tyler to fulfill whatever destiny he may have or whatnot. So, yeah, I think he's definitely dead. Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, everything, I wanted Catherine to show up. I didn't know how she was going to show up. So my other question to you is, what do you think is going to happen when Elena walks into the kitchen? Is she going to see Catherine there, do you think? Or is she going to be gone? Is Catherine going to be gone? And she's just going to see John laying there bloody, you know?
I think it's, my thinking is Catherine's going to flee. And I feel like that's the drop of the sound that she heard. Then she's going to walk in the kitchen. I think she's just going to see Uncle John. And I don't know what the contract is for the actor. I can't remember his name right now who plays Uncle John. But
I thought he might show up in season two, but we'll see.
Season two, yeah. Because his fingers were cut off, but then Catherine knifed him kind of like below the heart, like kind of more in the stomach area. So maybe he could be revived when he goes to the hospital or something. But I think it's going to be Elena seeing John with a pool of blood probably, and she's going to try to save him or bring him to the hospital. And I don't know. I think maybe she's going to find Jeremy too, maybe, but that I'm not as certain. So I think Catherine's going to appear maybe later. Because I feel like they can build more drama.
Yeah.
If Catherine's going to be right there, then Elena, of course, is going to tell Damon and Stefan, then there wouldn't be more mystery, you know, especially with that kiss.
Right.
That kiss, they probably will drag out the jealousy or bring up the jealousy again.
That was my theory.
But the thing is, like, Elena didn't kiss him, so Jenna's going to be all mad, right? She's going to be like, what were you doing? And then Elena's going to look at her like, what are you talking about? You know, right. I was just on the phone telling I love you, Stefan, you know, and that looking back, it was like, I was kind of, I think I said this last week, but I was kind of upset because looking back, I was like, Elena was like, I love you, Stefan. I love you, Stefan. And then like this whole kiss with Damon, I was like sitting there like, I was really upset. I'm like, no.
Elena, yes.
Really? Really? Are you going to be a hussy? Are you really going to be that hussy? You know?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't her. So then I was like, oh, okay. Yep. That wasn't you. You do love Stefan. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Same here. Then I initially thought that too, like you said, but I also a little bit, I thought, well, maybe it's like, you know, I feel sorry for you or like, just like, you know what, I'm going to go along with you. Like, a pity kiss. And then it's got to be Catherine. So then, okay, well, whatever.
That's so funny. Yeah.
The other part with Bonnie, I really like how she knows who she is now and what she can do. So we will definitely see more of a witch presence. Season two will be great.
No, me too. I'm really glad that she's coming to her own. I don't think she's as strong as her, you know, ancestor. I don't think she's as strong as Emily yet, but she's pretty strong. So I think it's going to be a good. Oh man, I cannot wait till it comes back. I'm like, oh my God, when is it going to be back?
And Caroline, what do you think? I mean, she's in the hospital with internal bleeding.
I don't know what's going on with that. It was funny because somebody wrote in an email saying they wondered if that was related to Tyler waking up and then she falls down. Like, did he take something out of her to wake up or something? I don't know. I mean, I think she'll be fine eventually, but she is, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. There has to be some more casualties, you know, in a season finale, not just, you know, poor Anna. I miss Anna already. Mm. You know, poor Josh. Josh, you were team Anna. Whose team are you going to be on now?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Elena's a really strong character. So like you've been saying, like she's become more and more appealing as a character as she's really had to show a huge amount of strength to deal with the things that have been thrown her way. But my heart really belonged to Anna. No. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I am still in mourning a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, she'll maybe be out, you know, doing something else, some other projects.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Maybe Teen Wolf. Sorry. Ah.
Wow. That would be the only thing that would get me to watch, I think.
Hey, so I wanted to get to a couple emails before we wrap up. And there was an email from Sita, one of our listeners. And I had made a comment about Elena versus Bella a couple weeks ago. I don't think it was an episode that you were on, Lynn. But I had just, you know, I was really just commenting on how strong Elena was and, you know, how I really respected that. And I can't remember exactly if I don't think I dissed Bella, but I was just like, wow, I think she's just really strong, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so Sita, you know, comes back and wants to pretty much defend Bella. And I don't have any, I still defend Bella as much as I can. You know, it's hard because a lot of people have so many, you know, criticisms of the character of Bella in the Twilight movies and how they think she's in an abusive relationship and all this stuff. And it's like, oh my God, really? But I wanted to read this email, parts of the email from Sita. She just said she wanted to give us a opinion, her opinion on Vampire Diaries versus Twilight. And she says she would go out and choose Twilight over Vampire Diaries. She loves the book so much, but she's just not a fan of the movies. Even though she thought they were okay. She says to compare both would be unfair. You have Twilight that is only 2 hours, and then you have Vampire Diaries that gives you 45 minutes every week, just like True Blood. You obviously get more character development on Vampire Diaries. I hate to be mean, but the Vampire Diaries books were awful for me. I don't know about everyone else, but Elena was a brat in the books, and none of the characters were meaningful. And I can see why the Twilight series has sold over 100 million copies and why the Vampire Diaries has done equally. The Twilight books have tension, witty banter, and characters you actually give a crap about, which for me is missing in the Vampire Diaries books. But the show is quite good, and I really enjoy those. So just let's make that distinction. She loves the show. The books she didn't like. People complain about certain things with the Twilight books, about this obsessive love, blah, blah, blah. But that's why the books are so popular. It's not your typical love story. I really feel like that's why the Twilight books are way more popular than other vampire teen books. It goes beyond reality in some of those instances and plays out things that I think people wish they had a little of. I do agree Elena is stronger, but that doesn't mean Bella isn't. I won't go into how irritated I get when people crap on Bella because I'll just go on and on. And I wanted to ask if you guys have read The Host by Stephenie Meyer. I know it's not a vampire book and it's slow at the beginning, but wow, what a great book. And if you're looking for kick butt strong female characters, Stephenie Meyer has done it with her main character, Melanie. I would also like to comment on the Eclipse trailer, which I actually got the action trailer. But at this point, I really don't care what men or haters think about the series. For once, why can't we women enjoy something without the male parts being there? If they love it, then more the merrier. And I know it's about money, but haters who haven't seen the first two movies won't see Eclipse no matter what the trailer looks like. thank you, Sita. So, Lynn, just FYI, I saw Iron Man 2, and during before she's making a comment that before Iron Man 2, the Love trailer aired of Eclipse, and it, no action, just like, oh, she has to make a choice. Oh, you know, Bella, I will protect you, blah, blah, blah. We didn't get any of the action, and like, we only saw one jump of Victoria and stuff like that. So it was kind of sucky that aired before Iron Man 2 for me. But apparently the action trailer did air for other Iron Man 2 showings. So I don't know. So anyways, thank you, Sita. Thank you for your comments. And I hopefully didn't think you thought that I was trying to belittle Bella. Because I've
been supportive of Bella too.
Yes, I always have been. But I was just commenting because we have been going over the Vampire Diaries week after week after week, and I've just been I'm a strong Elena supporter. So, and I love Elena, the character Elena. But that's interesting because I have not read the books, and she says that she thinks Elena is bratty in the books, which, you know, I don't know that I really want to read the books.
Do you really want to read the books?
I know. I'm happy with the TV show.
Yeah, I'm so happy with that. So, and they're not really going by the books anyway. So yeah. I kind of feel like if it's going to be separate, I'll do it like maybe when I have time, you know? So I feel like I want to finish the Sookie Stackhouse first and then read like the Abraham Lincoln one. And then there's there's so many other vampire books out there that I haven't read, you know? So the classic ones, you know?
One more email from a new listener, Meredith. She says, hey guys, I'm a new Bite Club listener, and I wanted to share a few thoughts, questions about the Vampire Diaries finale, just to see what you thought. First, I'm curious what will happen to Damon and Catherine. When he finds out it was her and not Elena, do you think he'll be more hurt, angry, or shocked? I'm thinking maybe some of all three. And second, do you think Catherine's return will affect Elena and Stefan's relationship? Thanks. Keep up the good work with your show. Love it. Thank you, Meredith. Lynn, what do you think? Yeah. Do you think?
Okay, I think. Damon,
what about Damon?
Oh my God, Damon. I'm thinking all three as well. But gosh, but I don't know. I feel like maybe potentially this will work out. This will kind of dissolve the love triangle with Elena and Stefan.
Yeah.
Like I feel like for the second question, I think Catherine's return, I don't think it'll, I mean, I think that initially it will affect a little bit because of history, you know, with Stefan, but I think Elena and Stefan's relationship will be okay.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's going to kind of be a friendship of some sort between Elena and Catherine. I mean, if anything,
really?
Oh, about wow. That. Right?
Because
do you know, like, I feel like, or it may be not friendship, maybe like they'll hate each other, or I don't know, but because I feel like Catherine's been somewhat protective of the town somewhat, even though she hasn't been directly, you know, in any of the episode, but like, you know, Isabel working with Uncle John, trying to get rid of the tomb vampires, you know?
That's true.
I don't know. There's something about, and we don't know what Catherine's motives are, you know? And why hasn't she come back, you know? And
right.
So anyway, so maybe, I don't know, maybe there will be, I don't know what kind of relationship. I mean, I jumped too quick to say friendship, but I only say it because of the closeness with Damon and Stefan.
I think he's going to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be more angry than hurt. Mm-hmm. Although you're right, Meredith, I think all of those three are going to be, you know, incorporated, but I mean, I can imagine, but I think he's just going to fall in love with her again. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to be taken by her. I feel like in terms of Catherine's return, how it will affect Elena and Stefan's relationship. I think if Catherine tries to be Elena and Elena finds that, it will affect the relationship. You know what I mean? Like if there's some like double you know, if she's going to try and portray Elena and Stefan doesn't know it yet, there's going to be some kind of, you know, there's going to be a little fight.
There's going to be trouble.
Well, I mean, like if Elena finds Stefan kissing Catherine because Stefan thought that was Elena or something. I mean, not going to be good, you know? That's going to affect them quite a bit.
Yeah.
Although, hopefully, Stefan will, if something like that happens, knows that that's not Elena. Like, somehow figures out that's not Elena. But, I don't know. Catherine's pretty good, you know? She's a good deceptor. And I think she's been watching Elena for a long time now.
Right.
So there's possibility of her being able to, you know, either capture Elena, put her in somewhere. You know, I imagine the situation where Elena is captured by Catherine and then she ends up being Elena for a while. Maybe that's too simple. I don't know. But
I could see something. They're going to play with that somehow. Yeah, they have to stretch out Catherine's ability to imitate Elena in some way. So yeah, there's going to be some horrible thing that happens along those lines. It's just inevitable. But what shape it'll take.
Something I just thought of is also, I think maybe Bonnie is going to play into it too. You know how she was warning Stefan, like, Damon has to change. And I wonder, with Catherine coming in, if Damon falls back into that, you know, with Catherine, potentially he may go bad and Bonnie's going to have to intervene, or, you know, like, there's something, you know, lots of stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So. I agree. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wait, though, until September to see the first episode of the second season of Vampire Diaries. It's kind of crazy. I can't believe it's going to be that long.
And I apologize. I don't know. And I haven't been keeping up with U.S. news or whatever. Did they mention anything about when they're going to premiere, or we're just going by September because that's the usual premiere day for fall and stuff?
I think they have announced it, and I can't remember the date right now.
Oh, okay,
so I think I ran into the date somewhere, but I can't remember it. So if somebody finds that link before I do, please let us know. But I believe it's September something, and that's just because I read it somewhere. But
No worry. I just wasn't sure. I was like, oh my God, it's really, oh wow. Okay. I better mark my calendar.
I know. Also, let's see, there was one blog post that I wanted to mention. Thank you for all the blog posts on our website, but I believe I wanted to, okay. Last week I had mentioned that the Band of Skulls, Lynn, just FYI, new Eclipse, the band, the list of bands that's going to be included into the Eclipse soundtrack was released last week, and not all of the songs, just the Muse song. But, I had mentioned that the band of Horses, was on a previous soundtrack, and that was incorrect. It was Band of Skulls. And Brandon, I just wanted to say thank you very much for that correction. Band of Horses is going to be in the new soundtrack for Eclipse that we are waiting to hear more from, because all we've heard right now is the Muse track. Do you like the Muse song, Lynn?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Cool.
And it was funny because before I left Singapore, I can't remember which city. I've been to so many places. It says something about Muse in Singapore or something. I was like, oh my God, I should come back, or I should stay longer or something. I think there was a moment I was like in concert locally. I think it's Singapore, but I can't remember for sure. So,
cool.
There was a moment I thought, oh, I should extend my trip and, you know, go to the concerts, but I miss home. I want to go home.
Yeah. It's time for you.
Yeah. I know. Cool. So, okay.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode of Bike Club. Lynn, it's been great having you back. I'm very excited. I can't wait till you come back to the United States.
I know. I can't wait to. I really am thankful for like all that we have in the U.S. Like, I'm not taking anything for granted anymore. I mean, I mean, my vacation has been great. Seeing the world, or, you know, mainly the Asia region. It's definitely, I am thankful for all that I have, and it's been great. And thank you guys so much for organizing and preparing everything too.
it was really
helpful, because I mean, it was just hard for me to access certain things until now. So thank you guys.
No problem. All right. Well, I think that does it for this episode of Bike Club, episode 45. Just a reminder, our website is bikeclubshow.com. You can email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter @BikeClubShow. We are getting so close to the premiere of True Blood. There's going to be so much news. I think we're just going to talk about news for the next couple of weeks. But again, we're going to have an interview with author Becca Wilcott, who did the unofficial True Blood companion on our next show called Truly Madly Deep Deadly. We'll talk to her.
Were you going to say Truly Madly Deeply?
Yes, I was. I almost said that. Oops. But we'll talk to her, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of news, because Eclipse is coming up. True Blood is going to premiere. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Bike Club.
Bye.